Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right. Jonah Cameron, John
Richard.
That was
just a sample. Small sample, Joe.
You don't want to know.
Oh, man. You guys are like children sometimes.
Yeah, actually. Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
much.
That is.
All yeah. right, let's go out on the on the Schwartz-Culleton guest line. If you're injured at work, get justice. Call Schwartz-Culleton at 800-JUSTICE. By the way, as, of course, we broadcast here today, we go nonstop this segment for a good while, brought to us by Ocean City Golf Getaway. Ocean City, Maryland is the hottest golf destination in the Mid-Atlantic. Never too early to plan your trip. Book your next golf getaway at OceanCityGolf.com. He is, of course, the host of the Ross Tucker podcast. You can follow him on Twitter at Ross Tucker NFL, and of course, hosts the WIP pregame show every Sunday before Eagles games. He is Mr. Ross Tucker. What's going on, Ross?
What's going on, Joe? Is it sounds like I just came just in time for an inside joke that I don't know anything about. I'm not a fan of that.
I think
something's clearly going on, and I'm out of the loop. So
we'll keep that inside. That. Yeah, that's right. that's what happens sometimes. Right. But I mean, Gladiator. You never know what an inside joke is. I mean,
oh man, Joe. Oh, man.
Sometimes the movie.
And do you think, by the way, we referenced that like 3 to 5 times last season.
Yep.
Do you think any of the listeners know what you did at a Gladiator
Hold on,
movie?
Hold on.
Oh, Ross!
We're going to move on right now. We're going to move on.
Oh, I love it.
I don't know if I was doing anything, but anyway. All right.
Oh,
oh,
buddy.
All right, Ross, let's get to football here. Your reaction to what we saw, we'll get to all the players specifically, but your reaction to what transpired 2 nights ago, Eagles losing to Atlanta. What's your big takeaway?
One of the more unique Eagles games I can ever remember. I mean, I distinctly recall like 10 plays into the game, being like, where is DeSean Jackson? Where is Alshon Jeffrey? Was it me or did it take NBC a little bit of time before they realized those guys weren't playing?
Yep.
And, like, told us what was going on. And then Dallas Goedert before the game when they only had 2 tight ends up. It's a truly unique game. It seems like that happens more often with only having 7 offensive linemen dressed for a game and 2 get hurt and you're like, oh, my gosh. One more offensive lineman goes down, they're putting John Ritchie at left guard. You know, like, you have those scenarios. But to actually be in a scenario when Ertz came off the field after one play where they had to put Sproles essentially at slot receiver, I mean, it was truly unique and unfortunately a really missed opportunity for the Eagles to get what I think would have been one of the gutsiest, most impressive wins for the team in the last few years, and really a gigantic feather in Carson Wentz's cap. I mean, even if Aguilar just makes that catch at the end of the game and they win the game, think about what not only us, but think about nationally what everybody is saying about Carson Wentz and how he willed that team to victory in the second half of that game. It's really a shame. It's a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
You highlighted it last week, Joe. Or no, actually, you highlighted it on the pregame show Sunday as well. We're going to be talking about it. I'm just telling you, whether it's the Rams for home field or the Cowboys for the division, I just feel like in December, we're going to be talking about that stinking Falcons game and that might end up being the difference between the 1 seed or the 5 seed.
Wow. Well, Carson, second half, magnificent athleticism, courage, the whole deal. First half, terrible. Ross, we've been talking a lot about this today, and it's certainly my contention that if he keeps playing the way he did, what I would call reckless, not getting the ball out of his hands, things of that nature, injury is going to happen again. Where do you come down on this notion of how he plays and the implications of it?
So here's what I would say. I think the hope is that he will slowly but surely get better at taking better care of himself. And I hope he figures it out sooner rather than later. I hearken back to guys like Randall Cunningham, like Steve Young, that when they were young bucks, they just kind of, you know, they knew they could make the plays. Even Brett Favre,
yep,
to some extent. But then as they got older, you know, Steve Young, he could still run for first down here and there, but he wasn't doing it as much. Randall, when he was in Minnesota, could run every once in a while, but that wasn't what he was. Same with Favre later on in his career, wasn't as reckless. I'm hoping that Carson can get there and that he doesn't get too beat up in the interim. I think for right now, though, we have to just kind of take the good with the bad. I mean, he's going to take some sacks that he probably shouldn't. He's going to take some hits that he definitely shouldn't, Joe, but he's going to make up for it with some spectacular plays. He's up there with Roethlisberger right now in terms of guys that get out of sacks. I just don't know how he does it. It's like he hit at least five times in that game where I'm like, oh, man, sack. And then he breaks free and either threw the ball away or had a completion. Obviously, he had a couple of tremendous plays. My concern is, given his already existing injury history, I don't know if he's making it through this season, guys,
yep,
playing very many more games like he did Sunday night.
Well, that's my worry. I mean, I'm just telling you, Ross, it's like, listen, we were through it as a town. Michael Vick, he'd say all the right things. The coaches would say, we're coaching him, we're telling him, slide, get down. Look, and Vick had to run more than the average guy because it's what really made him good. So it's not the right exact comparison. But all week, all off season, all year, Vic's learning, Vic's going to learn, Vic's going to slide, and then a three-hour game, and the competitive instincts take over, and then you had this whole
other
thing.
This is nothing at all like that.
It's
this is
very
the
similar.
Offense was broken because no one came to play. Literally, no one came to play in the first half. You had people were actually not out on the field. They were absent from the game.
I think that's fair.
Due to injury. And the offensive line had a bad game as well. So he's running around trying to do something, looking for guys who aren't breaking open. It just looked the way it looked because he was trying to survive.
And you know what, Joe? I think what John's saying is fair because it wasn't really like that against the Redskins week one. He got the ball out, was throwing it. We didn't feel like he was reckless week one against the Redskins.
Right.
He was in a very difficult spot. I mean, when your two outside receivers are Matt Collins and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside at this point, I mean, Hollins is really still more of a special teamer. Arcega-Whiteside is very talented, but figuring things out. I think that that is probably fair. And John made a good point. I haven't heard a lot of people discussing this, Joe. Maybe you guys have on your show. I got to be honest with you. They're my guys. I love all of them. I think they're the best unit in the NFL. But it was a really disappointing performance by the offensive line.
For
I thought that this was a game, especially given the injuries, that we needed what I think is the best O-line in the NFL to put this team on their shoulders, be able to run the ball consistently, be able to protect Carson for extra long against a team that doesn't really have a great pass rush. They really didn't do either. Maybe it's the first road game. I don't know. But it was a disappointing performance by the offensive line. There's no way around that.
Let's go to the phones, 888-729-9494. Ross Tucker with us for an entire hour. Obviously, a little bit of look back, a lot of look ahead as well, and a lot of conversation about Carson and his style of play. Let's talk to Dan in Philly. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great,
what's
Dan.
Up, Dan?
I think Ross just touched on it. I mean, he didn't look reckless at all in week one. Am I correct, Joe?
I would agree with that. Yep.
Okay, and then everything completely broke down around him. So essentially he threw out the playbook. So he's running around. He's pointing at receivers. I think a lot of times he was trying to lead a receiver where to go when he was running out of the pocket because the receivers had no idea what they were doing out there. So I don't think he's reckless. And other than the way he played, how else would you expect them to come back from that game?
Well, it was the way. No, I hear you. But I tell you this, Dan, and listen, and I look forward to talking to Shield tomorrow, and Ross, maybe you have a sense of this. Can you tell Ross if Carson is missing the opportunity to throw the ball to guys Were guys just not open, or is he not recognizing the moment when to get the ball out?
I don't think he's quite on it as much as we would hope him to be in year four is probably how I would describe it. I think he's a little late on some things. And I think he has tremendous trust and faith in his ability.
That's what I'm getting at.
And he also really likes throwing it long. I mean, I think he really likes the deep play. I mean, I think that's probably what's fun about being a quarterback. And it just seemed like the other night, unless it was Ertz, he almost doesn't trust the guys in at the first part of the play.
See, this is, I guess this is when I say reckless, and Elliot pointed this out. Maybe it's a word, I don't know, aggressive in nature that people maybe misconstrue what I'm trying to get at. I think style of play-wise, through a whole combination of things, belief in himself, wanting to throw the ball downfield, his athletic greatness, which is there, I just think you put it all together, it leads to susceptibility to injury more than the average guy. And I think that I'm Howie Roseman, believing I've got a franchise quarterback for 10-plus years, I'm not happy with game two of the year after two straight years of injuries that manifested that quickly again.
Well, and Joe,
isn't that why we drafted him? Because when the pocket does break down, he can athletically get out.
Like, even if you're saying, Dan, I'm with you, that he was doing what he felt like he had to do, you can't have the play where he's trying to throw it deep while Deion Jones tries to break his ribs. You just can't have that. Like, what, you know, whether he thought that's what he had to do, or, I mean, first of all, the ball ends up getting picked. And it was okay. It was like an arm punt. The guy picked it inside the 10-yard line.
Was that a missed
block?
That guy came straight in, is reckless.
Like, you see a linebacker coming to you, you cannot expose yourself trying to throw it deep in that situation, which, by the way, number one, was a bad decision. It wasn't even close to the receiver. And number two, you're asking to get broken ribs and or internal injuries. I mean, he's lucky he's wearing the rib protector. Otherwise, I can guarantee you he would have broken some ribs.
Yeah. All right, Dan, give me a great trio. Best answer wins the tickets today.
As much as I respect everybody's answers, nothing could exist without this trio, which makes up the atom. Protons, neutrons, and electrons.
All right. Ooh. That's a good one right there, Dan.
That's a great one.
Can I admit something? Can I admit something?
Yep.
I don't think I even really know what an atom is.
Well, Joe doesn't believe in Adams.
Well, what I don't believe in. Here's the problem. Here's the problem, Ross. Okay,
and I don't remember what an atom. Are you serious?
It's a building block thing. Okay,
the building block of everything.
But here's the problem, Ross. Here's my problem with the science behind it being the quote building block of everything. Then you find out that within the atom, there are sub aspects. So if there are aspects within the atom, then the atom isn't the sub-building block. Then the stuff inside the atom is the sub-building block. Right? I mean, seriously, think about it. Oh, the atom, it's the building block. Oh, wait a minute, there's parts of an atom. Okay, well, then the atom isn't the building block. I'm right.
No, you're not. You can't say.
Would you say a brick house is built with the parts inside the brick that make the brick, or would you say it's a brick house?
If you're telling me it's the most basic thing of like the whole universe, the whole shebang comes down to this thing, and then you tell me you're saying
it's the smallest component, the smallest building block of an element.
It's the smallest constituent unit of ordinary matter.
Yeah, except for those smaller things within it.
You can't,
Ross, am I right?
Those are not independent. Those aren't by themselves. Those can't stand alone.
They can't exist. Ross,
an electron cannot stand alone. This is the smallest, like, standalone component of an element.
Ross, we need a ruling.
Ask the guy who couldn't remember what an atom was.
So first of all, Joe, I totally understand the point that you're making.
You cannot possibly understand.
I understand the point Joe's making. How can it be the building block if there's other things that are building into it?
Because those things are not building blocks. Those things can't stand alone. They're parts.
Atoms can't really stand alone either.
Yes, they can.
What are you talking about? You don't even know what an atom is, man. There's some scientist driving around right now really unhappy with us.
As
you know who's really unhappy, Joe? You know who's really unhappy? Vinny in South Philly, who's pissed the Eagles lost and can't believe we're talking about Adams.
There you go. All right, let's go back to the phones then. And again, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia. We're broadcasting live, of course, from the Tasty Cake Studios. Mason's with us. What's going on, Mason?
Hey, man, not much. How y'all doing today?
Great.
Yo, what's up, Mason?
All right, so here's my thing. All right, so we had backup quarterback come in the first half, and he moved the ball. All right?
Yep.
And Doug Peterson come in and said that all he did was call basic freaking plays for him. Okay, so Carson Wentz, he hasn't practiced with those guys because they're not the number one guys as receivers, so the backup quarterback has better rhythm with them. Got that. Understand that. But if the ball is moving, put Carson Wentz back in and do the basic move plays that were working.
I thought that point too, Mason. I thought that too.
Especially like, for an example, okay, so he threw two flats out to Sanders, and Sanders got down and got a first down.
Right.
Put Sproles back there because that's what Sproles is best at.
Yeah.
Make him run that flat, throw that flat. You got your offense momentum going. Well, you got Carson Wentz, which goes off of momentum.
Assuming the defense decides to play off the way they were playing off for those two flat routes, you got a free release flat route, and it's not covered, so you threw it. I doubt that, you know, the Falcons are going to play that look the rest of the game.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is if Carson Wentz would have come in there and done some basic plays and got Carson Wentz in a minimum, rhythm,
right.
That's what Carson Wentz plays best at. He doesn't have no rhythm, he sucks.
Yeah. It took too long.
I love Carson Wentz, but he takes too long to get in the game. And that's what kills
it. It is quite unbelievable. Mason, thanks for the call. Russ, the early game struggles thing again. What do you make of it this time?
I don't know what else to say about it. I mean, it's all they talk about. It was such a huge point of emphasis. It's almost like he needs to get hit or he needs to run or something because he's not as good early in the game as he is later. You know, if you remember, it was the Colts game where they came out and went no huddle last year and went right down the field for a touchdown in 13 personnel, three tight ends, including Josh Perkins, and they went right down the field for a touchdown. At this point, I think they probably should go to a no huddle. I don't know what they're going to do this Sunday. I mean, I saw where Adam Kaplan tweeted he didn't think either DeSean Jackson or Alshon Jeffrey would play in this game. Yeah, I don't know if they make a roster move. They have a lot to think about going into a game against the Lions team. It's not a bad team. I mean, this game now makes me very nervous when a week ago I wouldn't have felt that way at all.
Yep.
But combination of the Lions beating the Chargers and looking better and the Eagles being beat up because it's not just the receivers. You know, now Jernigan's out. So you could probably argue that maybe the least amount of depth on the defense was specifically at D-tackle because just by the numbers, they only kept four guys and kept 60 ends, and now two of their top three D-tackles are out. I mean, this is why we talk all offseason and during training camp about Super Bowl caliber roster, but you still have to do it on the field and injuries. You have to stay healthy, and it's pretty early for them to have this many injuries that are impacting regular season games already.
No question. To Bill and Pittman. Hey, good afternoon, Bill.
Hey, love the program. Great job, guys, as always.
Thanks.
So I'm in a public place, and a lady hears you guys arguing about Jalen Ramsey,
mm-hmm.
and she walked up to me, and she said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm listening to a radio program." And she said, "Oh, politics. I wish people could talk civilly to each other." And she walked off.
Classic.
Wow.
I thought you guys would enjoy that.
Yeah.
Hey, Joe, I am really thankful and glad and happy that you've acknowledged that the pocket on an NFL field is not a safe place like your bathtub is.
There you go.
Seriously.
There you go.
So and as far as Jalen Ramsey, at the risk of getting an argument started again, there is a owner in the NFC East that has proven that he's not beneath trading number one draft picks for superstars. Us getting Jalen Ramsey would keep him off the Cowboys roster, and we should go all in for him.
It's going to be a really interesting one. All right, give me a best trio you can think of, Bill.
The only band to have a number one single in four decades are in the Songwriters Hall of Fame and the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Bee Gees.
You got it, buddy. Oh, wow. Good stuff, Bill. Appreciate that. All right, so, Ross, before you came on, John and I were in a spirited conversation. Look, we both obviously, you know, talk about, you know, what a great player Jalen Ramsey is. And I made the point, Ross, that I wouldn't want to get him unless, and I would want to get him, by the way, but I wouldn't want to get him unless I have a deal arranged upon the trade. Like when the Phillies got Roy Halladay, for instance, hey, you get Roy Halladay and it comes with a big three-year extension, because fundamentally one of the things going on in Jacksonville is he's unhappy not having a contract. So I'm saying, well, why would I want to acquire him? And
he's also unhappy because they've told him they're not re-signing him when his rookie deal is up. The team is struggling, and he's been clashing with not only Coach Marrone, but with Tom Coughlin. To where Tom Coughlin was told by the NFL he needed to apologize for things that he said in the offseason. Like, there's a lot of
There's a lot going on. Ross, my point is I'd want a deal worked out to acquire him. And John disagrees with that. What's your opinion?
Well, here's how it works. If you get the deal, your leverage to get the deal done is at the time of the trade. He wants the contract. So, unlike the Texans, who don't know what they're doing and traded two ones and a two for Laremy Tunsil, you give that player unbelievable leverage if you don't get the contract done at the time of trade. Because let's say the Eagles give up a first-round pick for Jalen Ramsey. You can't just have Jalen Ramsey there for this year and then maybe the fifth-year option.
Well, that's the thing. It's not just this year. You've got the fifth year that he has to play for. I mean, things could get ugly at that point.
But you don't want them to get ugly.
That's not the objective. Let's walk away.
And more importantly, John, you don't want to give him that leverage.
Totally. But I'm saying it's too far in advance of a guy who's in the fourth year of his rookie deal, where you have the fifth year anyway.
John, if you think
to do this now,
let me just say this, because this is the part I don't get. You think he's maybe the best corner in football. Why wouldn't you want to lock up the best corner in football?
Because you have him for the next 2 years for $17 million. I would at least play one of those years. I don't want to pay him $15 million for the next 2 years. I will pay him seven for this or whatever it is, or, you know, like whatever it ends up being. It's less than that. But it makes sense to me.
You're going to end up paying a lot more.
See, we don't know that.
No, we don't know that. Why do you think Howie Roseman always does contracts early?
I understand.
Because he knows the longer you wait, the more it is.
I know. And I get that part. I think with a guy like this, he is good enough that if we did sign him to a huge deal right now, like, I know how he'll have a way to make it fit. I'm fine with that. But I feel as though you could get him on a bargain now and then give him the world next year anyway, instead of that fifth year option. He will have proven that he fits in the locker room. I know that he will fit with what Jim Schwartz wants to do. I mean, this guy can do anything on the field. So I know that's not going to be an issue. I mean, I do have some reservations about the fact that this guy says whatever he wants and seems to do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
I need to be sure, like, I have some control over his behavior this year by saying, hey, I'm going to hold this over you. Play the way we want to, and we'll give you a deal by the end of the season.
All right, what to do? The Eagles running game. What is going on? Why can't they run? Why didn't Doug run more? And what's up with Miles Sanders being the main guy so far out of the gate? We'll ask all those questions to Ross coming up next. Shutter camera, John Ritchie, Ross Tucker with us for an hour, 94 WIP. Hey, FanDuel Sportsbook, where you can get into all the action. Of course, football is better when you got skin in the game. And FanDuel Sportsbook, you can have that skin in the game with FanDuel Sportsbook from New Jersey like last year and now from Pennsylvania as well this year, college or pro football. And you can do it all risk-free. That's right, risk-free with your first bet, because when you sign up with FanDuel Sportsbook using promo code Joe, you can make a bet worth up to $500. If you lose that bet, you get $500 back in site credit. That's right, $500 back in site credit. Best of all, FanDuel Sportsbook has lightning-fast withdrawals. That means you can have your winnings in your pocket in as little as 24 hours. So many games to look at this upcoming week in pro football, including, of course, Philadelphia favored over the Lions. Of course, this game here in Philly. Philly a 7-point favorite out of the gate. You've also got a crazy spread after Miami got walled big time by New England. Miami now this time a 20-point, that's right, 20-point underdog to Dallas week 3 of Pro Football Action. So check out the game or games that works for you, college or pro. Get in on all the action using promo code Joe with FanDuel Sportsbook. Again, that's with FanDuel Sportsbook.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.